I'm quite excited today because I have something really valuable I want to show you. And I'm kind of glad that the little ones have been taken away because they would get so excited. They'd start screaming and stuff like that. But I've had this for a long, long time. And I really value it. It's a $1 million bill. Now, maybe you have seen these $1 million bills. Maybe you guys have wanted one, like you want to be a millionaire, so you would hope someday you would own a $1 million bill. And if you've been lucky and wealthy enough, maybe you own one like I do. Isn't that what our gospel is about today? The attack that we hear in our gospel on Jesus follows immediately after Jesus has kind of just raked them through the coals with the last three parables over the last 3 weeks that we have heard. If you remember 3 weeks ago, Jesus started out, again, he's giving these parables the very week before he dies. And he's talking to the religious authorities, the Pharisees, as you heard, Herodians, the chief priests. And he's basically letting it all out there, telling them what's going on. And the first one, if you remember, was the story of the two sons, where the dad asked them to do something, and one said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then later on, he just said, I'll do it, and he did. And the second son said, yeah, Dad, I'll do it, but did nothing. At the very end of that parable, Jesus says, Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. You could imagine Jesus did not make any friends that day. I mean, imagine if I came up here and said that to you. You'd probably go, I'm out of here. But this was Jesus was saying this to the religious authorities. And then he doesn't stop there. He follows up. 2 weeks ago, we had the parable. He tells them the second one, the one about the vineyard, where the owner creates this beautiful vineyard, makes the watchtower, makes the gates, and makes the plants, the vines, and does everything, and then he rents it out to tenants, and the evil tenants kill the servants that the owner sends until he finally sends his son. And they say, ooh, let's get him, and then we'll get the inheritance, and they kill him as well. At the end of that week, Jesus says this to the religious authorities. The kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit. And then last week you heard the story of the king's feast, where the king for the son's wedding prepares a great feast and invites all the people that he feels he needs to have come, and they all turn him down. And he invites and says, go out and invite the good and the bad alike. And then at the very end of that story, a person comes in, not in a wedding garment, if you remember, and that enigmatic part where he just says, well, why don't you wear one? He doesn't know, and they throw him out. And at the end of that, Jesus says something that, again, is a little bit like, He says, many are invited, but few are chosen. Most scholars thought that parable was more about how, although we're invited by God, we still have some responsibility to him. We can't just come in free and just expect everything's going to be good for us. But you can see if you were a religious authority standing there and you just heard those three parables from Jesus, your world would at least be shaken up if you wouldn't be angry. But as we heard in the gospel today, most of them are angry. So, okay, it's our turn. Let's catch Jesus. So they give him that question that no matter how Jesus answers it, he's going to be in trouble. Is it lawful to pay taxes? If he says yes, the religious authorities will come and see he's not really a prophet, he's not really a man of God, because he's telling you to do something that is against our law. And if he says no, he's in trouble with the Roman authorities as well. And so Jesus avails himself quite well, and he says something very clever that I think is sort of one of the few passages that are in everybody's mind all the time, Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and render to God what is God. And it is very clever, but if you think about it, it doesn't answer the question. After he says that, should you pay the taxes or should you not pay the taxes? Did Jesus say that, well, since everything is kind of God's, that no, you shouldn't pay taxes because everything belongs to God? Or is Jesus saying, well, there's the world and then there's God, and then you got to keep them separate, and you got to remember what belongs to which one? So it's sort of like the world is separate from God. Is that what that means? So we don't really know. He didn't really answer the question. When Jesus didn't answer the question, should you pay the taxes? It's because it wasn't the right question. It's not the one that he wanted to answer when they asked that question. Because inherent in the question was, what's the role of money in your life? What is the role of money in your life? Jesus was trying to tell us all that money is a tool to be used and not an idol to be worshipped. And yet how many of us use money for security? We keep it, we hoard it, we don't want to spend it, or if we do want to spend it, we want to spend it on things that make us look good and important and special. So what Jesus is really asking, or really telling us by what he says, is he's trying to tell us, what do you value money? How do you value money? Which takes me back to my $1 million bill. Why do I have this? Is it because I want to dream that I'm a millionaire and what it would be like, and I'll go, ooh, boy, ooh, got $1 million. Would I do it as a joke where I'm going to hand it to somebody and, oh, I'll have my $999,000 back in change, please? Or is there a deeper reason that I have held on to this bill? Maybe it's because I value money in the wrong way. That I have to have a little tiny idol to remind me that money is really worthless. This bill is worthless. Every bill you have in your wallet is actually worth nothing. It's only worth what we make it worth, the value that we put on it. And that deeper value in my heart is why I keep this, to remind me that when I think I need money, when I think, oh, God's not going to give me my money, I'm not going to have the money, I keep thinking, I look at this, and I keep thinking, okay, God, you'll take care of everything. Everything will be all right. We fret so much about the things of the world, not realizing that God has us in his arms and controls us. So I want you to do one thing for me, if you want. I want you to get your own $1 million bill, and I want you to put it in your wallet or put it in your purse. And every time you're fretting about money, where you're worried about money or you're thinking about money, I want you to remember and pull it out and look at it. And remember what Jesus said. What's really valuable in your life? And what's really worth it? Do you use money as a tool, or do you use it as an idol? Do you worship money, or do you just use it for what you need to use it in the world? And think, if somebody actually gave you $1 million, what would be the first thought in your mind? Would it be, oh, what, this is what I can get? Or would it be, this is how I can help somebody? That's the difference that Jesus is asking us today to look. What's in your heart? And what's in your wallet? To see. And oh, only one thing. Next week, if I find these in a collection basket, I'm not going to be happy.